Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Hey, good morning, everybody. What a wonderful, wonderful, you like that, Danny? Wonderful day in Wisconsin, here in southeastern Wisconsin. But we come to you worldwide on the World Wide Web, whatever it's called. Anyway, this is the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors with Dan Bush and me, Tom Neubauer. Nick Bodie on the boards, as usual. And if you want to get involved in the show, 799-1250 is the phone number. That's 414-799-1250. Or you can always email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. We come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. We are live, and you never know what's going to happen, but we will be talking some hunting and fishing. Right, Danny?
Yeah, and here's my, you know, my morning gripe. I know everybody tuned in for my morning gripe.
Just for that.
First of all, driving in today, when you see the flashing sign that says slippery, slow down,
yeah,
some knob passes me at 80 miles an hour. So I'm thinking, yep.
He's not reading that sign.
No, he's not paying attention. Not till he's up against the wall or in the ditch, which seems to happen with regularity throughout the week. You know, you'll be driving in, everything's cool, and all of a sudden, traffic's backed up because somebody screwed up. So
you know what's funny, Danny? In Wauwatosa, there was no snow on the ground. Nick said coming in from Madison, there was no snow. We get over here to Hales Corners, there's snow on the ground. I mean, not much, just a dusting.
Yeah, but we had the dusting out there.
Did you have it out by Pewaukee? Yeah.
In Pewaukee, yeah.
Yeah, a little dusting.
Then my other gripe is I got up early this morning to go online, do my research for the show,
right.
you know.
Do a little show prep.
Yeah, and I left it on, I forgot. I was browsing on the internet looking at trucks, and I left it on that site. And then when I went to the screen, it was like froze up.
Oh,
Couldn't click on, nothing happened. So then I shut the computer down and turned it back on. And then it froze up because it was doing one of those security scans that your safety stuff does. So then that shut it down. So I tried turning that off. Then I still went to a way. Finally, I just unplugged the goddamn thing and walked out.
You didn't throw it across the room, did you?
I wanted to. I'm like, gosh, just when you really want to try and real quick get some information, all of a sudden it shut down. So,
Well, I mean, I'm not going to mention any names of things, but, you know, with my internet, I had one company for many, many, many years, ever since they started with the internet stuff, right? I had the same company. But I wanted to save some money back in January. So I switched to save money. Should have never done that. And somebody knew who it was, and I talked about this the last time. You know, they knew. And it was terrible. I mean, it would kick out. I'd have to reboot that router I don't know how many times.
Right.
So finally, after about a month and 6 weeks, I called the original company I was with and went back with them. And you know what? When I went to that, when I had switched from them, the original company, right? And to save money, which I did. But when I canceled it and then went back 6 weeks later, guess what? I got a better rate. So I,
you know what they should have done, Tom? Being as you left them, they should have charged you double.
Yeah, they should have charged me more.
A buddy of mine plows snow, right? And he had a contract with, you know, he was doing it for a lady.
Yeah.
And he called her and says, you know, I'll be doing this fall, this and that. She goes, no. Oh, she goes, Well, I got someone who'll do it for this. Will you do it for this? It was like half of what he goes. Man. He goes, no, I can't. It's not worth. I
not
can't
worth
afford
this
to do
time.
It. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He says that's fine if you go with that. So, of course, weeks like pass, and all of a sudden he gets a phone call. Yeah, can you can you come back and you do my plowing for me now and this and that? And he goes, yeah. And he says, but it's going to cost you this. And she goes, what? I was paying this much before. Now you're going to charge me more? He goes, yeah. You left me to go somewhere? He says, you want me to take it over? Yeah, it's going to cost you this.
He was doing a good job. The other guy wasn't. And
So be careful what you wish for sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, you know.
What you pay for. They say you get what you pay for.
Yeah, and in most cases, that's true.
And if it sounds too good to be true.
It's not.
It is too good to be true.
It is not true. Exactly. Well, you know, a lot of people were going out on the area lakes with that warm weather that we had. And I'll tell you what, these lakes are watery, slushy, you know, it's
they're
a mess.
You'd want to have your cleats on your boots now.
Yeah, because a lot of that snow is leaving, but it's just a mess. Danny, I got to tell you this.
But why would you even be out anyway? You can't fish game fish. So who in their wide world would go out there in the slush and the crap? Even I saw a vehicle on the ice. Why would you be out there for a 6-inch bluegill?
Well, that's because the people I know aren't catching 6-inchers. They're catching nice ones. 8, 8.5s, you know, some 7.5s up to 9, but averaging around that 8, 8.5, getting nice crappies, 10, 11 inches on average, you know, some maybe a little bit bigger, throwing back the smaller ones. But those people like to eat fish. And you know, Danny, panfish, I don't think I've ever had a bad bluegill or, you know, bad bluegill.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so people are going out to get fish to eat. But I'll tell you, I learned a lesson. Last week, Friday, I put away all the ice fishing stuff at Sherper's, okay?
Right.
Because I figure, okay, game fish is closed. The season's going to be ending soon, you know, for the panfish. Even though there's a lot of ice on the lake still, you know, it's just going to be really sloppy. I put it away. Well, sure enough, on Saturday, a guy comes in looking for some jigs and a few other things. So I get this big box out of the back room and start hauling stuff out so that he can pick out 4, 5, 6 items. Okay. Well, I heard from the manager at Sherper's that during the week when I wasn't there, Sunday through Thursday last week, every day he said at least one person came in looking for ice fishing stuff, and he had to pull this big box out and tear everything out and find the stuff from. But we'll go that extra mile. I mean, I'll do that extra, and so will he. You know, we'll go that extra mile. We'll pull the stuff out. We'll take the time.
So
he was telling me, he said, next year you leave it out longer.
You were the genius who runs the fishing department who decided to pull all the stuff.
Yeah, I was quite the genius, I guess.
You weren't quite the super genius.
No. And but you know, well, this year has been a little strange, you know, because we had a lot of, you know, nice weather in the beginning, a lot of cold weather in the middle, and now we're back into the average spring stuff, you know.
Normal.
So, yeah, normal stuff, so. Hopefully, pretty soon, and I haven't heard any reports. Maybe one of our listeners will call us and tell us about any of the rivers being open. I don't think they are yet, but if there is a river open, let us know. You know. Then again, they might not want to tell us.
You haven't taken a drive, so you can give us some of your bridge.
No, I don't go that way anymore.
the bridge reports.
You remember that, eh?
Neubauer's fishing report on rivers would be he'd drive around and drive over bridges.
No,
if he saw some boats out there.
On a Thursday.
The fishing is hot on this.
Yeah. Well, on a Thursday, I used to go out to Jefferson, and I'd have to drive over the Rock River.
Right.
And I could tell, you know, when it was open and when it was closed still, when there was still ice on it, and I would give that report. And then, of course, if I saw anglers out there.
Did you ever fish the dam in Jefferson?
Oh, yeah, years ago.
Did you?
Yeah, that's tough.
Because you lose
a lot of lures.
A buddy of mine used to do it years ago with these long cane poles he told me about. And they'd have these long cane poles, and they'd get some nice walleyes.
Oh, yeah, you can catch fish there. They'll come
all
the way up there.
Once in a while, a guy might get a monster. Yeah, most of the time, no, but every once in a while.
Yeah, generally they're the smaller ones, you know, that you find in the rock, and you know, but you will get some legal ones. But the problem with that area there is you will lose if you're casting like jigs in that.
Right.
You will lose some. You will lose some. It's almost better to put a float above your jig and let it work down, you know, the river with the current. Let it work with the current. Just to keep it above those rocks, you know, so you
Plus,
don't get hung up.
Is it combat fishing where there's a bunch of guys?
Sometimes, yeah, it can be. If you can get out there during the week, of course, it's better. I wouldn't go on a weekend, but yeah, sometimes it is. Sometimes it just depends, you know, when you're there.
So what time of year will that be kicking into gear pretty soon?
Pretty soon now, yeah. The rocks should be open. All you know, the rivers around us should be opening up. Maybe another week or so.
And then,
it depends on the weather. It, yeah.
Now, my brother lives in Oshkosh, and he does the Winneconne Bridge, and he does well.
Yeah.
And he picks his times when he goes there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I had one of my muskie clients years ago gave me a special kind of a rod holder that kind of clamps onto the side of the, I don't know, bridge, rail,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, the railing, yeah.
And I gave it to my brother years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it works great. And then he went and made some other. He took that cop prototype and made some others.
Yeah.
And he says it works fantastic. You can put your, I guess, rod right in there. And but he'll sometimes go after work, you know, up, you know, when he leaves up there in Oshkosh, and he'll just go there for a couple hours in the evening, and there's times he'll catch his limit. So he picks his windows. I guess if you're there on a sunny Saturday, you're gonna have everybody and their brother.
Yeah, it's combat fishing then.
Combat fishing, yeah.
I was just going to add on to that, and I just lost my train of thought.
And he did put in a compliment to the, he'll often be there by himself with no net. And he said, the friendliest fishermen out there are the Hmong, fishermen.
Oh, is that right?
They're very helpful and nice guys, and they always offer to net his fish for them. And
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, he says everybody's real courteous when he's there fishing. Yeah. So,
well, over the years, fishing rivers in the spring, and I, number one, I won't do it anymore, just because there's so many people. You go down to the Rock River, close by the mouth by Koshkonong there,
right,
and about down by Fort Atkinson area, and it's like the 7th Fleet just pulled in. You know, there are so many boats. It's like I don't want to put up with that anymore. And then if you go up to the Fox River up by Green Bay and you're up by the dam area, oh, there's so many boats. I mean, it's just crazy. And you go by the Fox River, the Southern Fox,
right,
you know, by Eureka. I remember one time at Eureka, Danny, my brother-in-law and I were anchored in this spot just below the headwater dam that they had there. Well, at one point they had a dam and then they knocked it down and made rapids, okay?
Right.
Well, anyway, and there, more and more boats are showing up. We got there nice and early, right? And there was maybe only 6 or 7 boats there. And in an area like that, 6 or 7 is no big deal. Well, as it was getting closer and closer to daylight, more and more boats are showing up, more and more boats. And finally, there's a lot of boats, right? And one guy pulls up by us, and he says, "Hey, you anchored good?" And I said, "Yeah, why?" He said, "Well, we'll just tie up to you, okay?" "No, not okay." He wanted to tie up to our boat. I'm like, "No, that's not okay." So my brother-in-law and I, we left that area. And, oh, and by the way, in that area, I hooked a fish that I knew was not a walleye. It had to be a sturgeon. I mean, this thing just started peeling offline. There was no stopping whatever this freight train was.
Right.
So what I, instead of spooling my reel, you know, all taking all the line, I just cut the line. I just cut the line. I said, "No, I'm not dealing with this," you know. And it would have taken every inch of line I had on my reel. It would have. I mean, there was just no stopping it. So I said, screw that.
Go ahead.
So anyway, so my brother-in-law and I, then we went down river where there were less people, which you can find areas that are good.
Right.
We didn't find any good areas, but my brother-in-law did catch a 10-speed bike. So
I did.
Kind of rusty, though.
I did the Wolf River fishing once as a kid. My dad was a guidance counselor and one of his guidance counselor buddies, and we were going to go for the white bass run. And there were boats everywhere.
Yeah.
And the guy that my dad's counselor buddy friend, he was hot-tempered and kind of wound tight anyway. He did nothing but griping about every boat that drove by, this and that. We didn't catch a thing. We froze. It was miserable. I never went back and did that river fishing ever again.
Well, with that, folks, we got to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We got a lot more coming up, and we got a special guest coming up at 7:05 today. You don't want to miss it. Danny will tell you about that when we come back here on the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Did you play this on your guitar back in the day? I would think
no.
That'd be a great one to just start out with, right?
No.
Just to start out. Wouldn't be that hard to play.
It's pretty easy. There's only a few chords. It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
But when you're playing it by yourself, unless you have an electric guitar, I got a hollow body now. I used to have a Stratocaster, but not anymore. But with a hollow body, it's not the same. You need an electric guitar. Who do you got on the line there, Nick?
Got Jack in Pewaukee on the line.
All right. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Tom.
What's
up?
I got a couple of questions
for you on fishing lines.
Yeah, well, Danny and I are here to help in any way we can.
Okay. I'm sure you are.
Yeah.
Then I have to ask Dan a question, too, on that one fishing lure he was talking about.
Okay,
gotcha. Okay. On a bait casting,
yeah.
I'm looking for distance and you know how they always, you get those bird's nests and there's something that's a real, what would you use for something that's real, kind of durable and that I can get distance? I'm looking for distance.
Well, here's the first thing.
Maintenance free. Yeah, okay.
First of all, I don't call those bird's nests. To me, those are called professional overruns. That's one thing. Second of all, okay, I've used a lot of mono, okay? And if you get a backlash in mono, you can pick that out pretty easily. When you're using a super braid line, you get a backlash in one of those, it's a nightmare. You'll basically get the same distance out of either one. But this year, I'm going to spool up one spinning reel and one bait casting reel with straight fluorocarbon, one of the more limp fluorocarbon, because some of them get kind of stiff. So I'm going to try that this year, straight fluorocarbon, and we'll see how that works. There's different brands.
Seaguar Invisibraid, I believe they call it. Seaguar something. It comes in a yellow and a blue box. Really good stuff. I used the 8-pound on a spinning reel last year. And it didn't cause, that was the problem with previous fluorocarbon in that it would, get twist, especially with a spinning reel.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked flawlessly. An 8-pound was plenty strong for those 4 or 5-pound smallmouths up in the Bay of Green Bay.
But you're talking about bait casters, right?
Yeah, but I was also going to go with the spin casting too, so that you help me there.
Now fluorocarbon typically, Tom, has not had a problem on bait casters. It used to be that fluorocarbon wasn't recommended for spinning reels because of that fact that it could get
a little
the twist.
Stiffer. Yeah.
But that Invisibraid did not cause the problems on the spinning reel, although I had a Fluger Arbor spinning reel, which has a lot bigger spool. I did that intentionally, figuring that you'd have less likelihood. But as far as the length of the cast, Tom, most people would probably say today's braids, the thin braids, do cast probably, they're thin. They really can. You can launch a cast a mile. But what Tom says as far as if it's real thin and you get a backlash, you tend to, you got to pick it out.
It's a nightmare.
So
it can be a nightmare.
So I would say most guys go with probably either 20-pound braid or 30-pound braid, where you might use, if you'd use 8-pound mono, 20-pound braid, 30-pound braid probably has the same diameter.
But then depending on what you're using, for a lure, then you'd have to put some type of fluorocarbon leader material on the front of it.
Not always.
It depends on the lure.
No, if you're musky fishing, nobody bothers with it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of guys do, though, we'll put a fluorocarbon leader for the bass.
Yeah.
Especially up in, if you're fishing clear water.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, what it comes down to really is like if you can cast a bait caster well, I think you're going to, I really never noticed a big difference in distance. One, whether it be mono braid, the super braid, it seems like if there's a 2 or 3 or 10 foot difference, I never noticed it, you know, because I use a lot of bait casters, you know, I mean, I do that a lot, so I never really noticed it, really.
Pick up the 8 pound Invisibraid, yeah, and you'll be happy.
Yeah, there's another one called Sunline that's really good, too. It's made in Japan, called Sunline. As a matter of fact, that's the one I'm going to try this year.
And again, I think if it's not Invisibraid, it's Invis something. Yeah, maybe it's Invis X, but it's Seaguar, and it's in a yellow and blue box. Right. I just, you know, picked some up the other day.
So
So for the spin casting, I'll go with the Seaguar 8 or 10 pound. Now for the bait casting, look at that Super Braid 20 pound.
Yeah. Super Braid 20 pound. If you're throwing a spinner bait, you probably don't need any kind of. Well, it depends on the water clarity.
I can put. What brand of Super Braid would you go with?
I like the spider wire stealth.
Yeah.
Spider wire stealth.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people. Okay. A lot of people go with, what's the name of that one,
There's
Danny?
You Power
know
Pro.
Power Pro. A lot of people go with Power Pro. I've been seeing a lot of that at Sherper's being sold, you know, the Power Pro. So, you know, actually there's a number of good ones out there. It just depends.
Well, I'll try these two.
Yeah, the thing is that some of them are more round, some of them are a little flatter, some are more oval. You know, you try to get one that's the most round,
That's
I guess.
That's why the spider wire stealth is really good, because it's a round, tight braid.
It's more round, huh? Yeah. All right.
Okay, I'll try that.
Well,
one other quick question. This is for Dan.
Yeah.
He was talking about that bass lure.
Yeah. It's the mega.
What's the name of that?
I always forget myself. It's the Mega Bass Vision 110.
You got $30. You got $30
like 20,
to spend. 20,
and, and ebony.
I'll have my wife get it for me.
Yeah,
there you go.
It's like $24.99.
Like $25.
Ebony.
Yeah.
It's I was calling it ebony bone, but it's actually ebony something else. And it's got kind of slight purplish on the back. That was the hot one, and I did go online after I bought it last year and found out I lucked out because that's been the top selling one. But they got all kinds of different cool colors and stuff. It was actually designed by one of the bass pros on the, you know, circuit. And it's more expensive than your typical, you know, Rapala, X-Wrap, Shadow Wrap. Although I will say, pick up an X-Wrap or Shadow Wrap. I mean, you get those for whatever, $7, $8, maybe $9 less. They're fantastic as well. Mm-hmm. But something about that Mega Bass last year, I'm telling you, and I was using that with the 8 pound fluorocarbon I was talking about. I'd spooled up with it and it just worked fantastic.
Yeah, and when you look at fluorocarbon, don't forget that they come in different abrasion resistance. And the ones that are more abrasion resistant, well, any fluorocarbon is going to be more abrasion resistant than mono, but the ones that are the most abrasion resistant are a little bit stiffer. Whereas the ones that are least abrasion resistant, but more than mono, you know, are a little bit limper and easier to cast.
Stick with the Seaguar, you'll be fine. It's got abrasion resistance and it's limp enough.
Yeah.
Also, when you get that Mega Bass, you got to work it. I'd go online on YouTube and watch someone working it, because you got to work it with a jerky rhythm, and then you pause it sometimes for 5-10 seconds, and that's when the bass smack it. It's fun to work.
Okay.
I hope we didn't confuse you.
No, you got me. the spider wire stealth for the bait casting, the Seaguar
fluorocarbon. Yeah, Seaugu something like that.
Yeah.
Seaguar.
Yeah.
Yellow box with blue on it.
Yeah. Yellow with blue. Okay. Yeah. Thanks very much, guys. Have a good
one. All right, you have a great one too. Okay, folks, we got to go to another break. Coming up next is the gut report. I haven't decided yet which one I'm going to do. Danny, let me ask you this. Would you, I know you don't do a lot of cooking, okay?
What are you talking about?
You don't do a lot of cooking.
You don't think I can cook?
No, you go on the grill, I know.
I'm not much
to look
at,
but
I can cook.
You can?
Uh Huh?
Yeah, yeah. Look at him laughing over there.
Yes, I can cook.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, what would you rather hear? What would you rather want to know if, let's say, you're a regular person, what would you rather know how to make? Crab wontons that you get at, like, at the Chinese restaurant? Crab wontons? Or would you rather want to know how to make Asian cabbage? What sounds better?
Wontons. Cabbage gives you gas, man. Think about it. That's just obvious, dude.
All right, so wontons it is. When we come back with more here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
Hey, it is the Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. Okay, Danny picked crab wontons instead of Asian cabbage. I was thinking for St. Patty's Day, we do the cabbage. But then again, St. Patty's Day, I don't know if you want to make Asian cabbage. But here you go, crab wontons. This is so easy to make. You're going to deep fry these. And if you don't have a deep fryer, that's okay. Put some oil in a pot, you know, whatever. You take some cream cheese. You got to soften it up. Put a little milk in it. Put it in the microwave, you know, soften it up so that you can, you know, stir it easily. Add some crab, bunch of crab, either imitation or real. You don't have to spend a lot if you don't want to, imitation or real. You chop up some green spring onions, and then you get these wonton wraps, and you put a spoonful in the middle and pull the four ends up with a little bit of water, you know, to make it stick, and you pinch those four ends together, drop them in the oil that's about 350 degrees, It only takes like a minute or two to for them to cook. Once they turn like a golden brown, pull them out. And I'll tell you what, they are so good. They're crispy, and it's just really good. So you might want to try that. Cream cheese, crab, green spring onions. That's all it is. And then wonton wraps. It's very easy to make those because I know when a lot of us go to Chinese restaurant, we always got to get some of those crab wontons. The Gut Report was brought to you by Discount Liquor, where you're going to find the best price, selection, and service at 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Main Street in Barstow in Waukesha. For weekly specials, go to DiscountLiquorInc.com.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
Did you want to play? No music? Okay. Now, Danny was gonna tell you at 7:05 we got a caller calling, and hopefully he does. Danny, who are you calling in?
Judge Hagedorn is gonna give us a call, so we're gonna talk a little bit,
find out a little bit about him, huh?
Yeah, he does hunt. I saw a picture of him and his son and a pheasant, and we'll maybe talk a little bit Second Amendment things and about an upcoming election that we should probably get out there and vote. So, yeah.
Yeah, and we're not going to get political about it. We're just going to have his thoughts on what concern our listeners, you know, basically.
Yeah, we're going to talk politics not get political about it. What the heck are you talking about, Tom?
No, we're going to talk about what concerns our listeners, you know, like, you know, first of all, like about him, you know, where he went to school, where he grew up, and talk about his fishing and hunting. He's got five kids, you said, you know, and if he goes out with them. And then, of course, how he feels about, like, the Second Amendment rights, so concealed carry and all that in Wisconsin, what's going on.
Do you have your concealed carry, Tom?
Oh, yeah. I got my permit. I better have it if they catch me with it.
Have you renewed?
Oh, yeah. I had to renew once. Yeah. So I've had it for quite a while, ever since they first came out. We went to, and I would recommend, folks.
Now, that got passed under Walker.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering whether with Evers or there's a lot of anti-gun sentiment out there right now, if whether they could go ahead and try and reverse that.
I don't know.
And would that be something that would make it to the Wisconsin Supreme Court?
Yeah, something like that would make it. Yeah, definitely. And that's why we need a guy like Brian Hagedorn on the Supreme Court so that it doesn't get reversed. Who do you got on the line there?
I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
We got Joe from Monaco. He's been trying to get on for a while.
Oh, Joe from Monaco.
I like that. Monaco. That's Johnny. Joe from Monaco. Hey.
Monaco Joe.
Yeah. Good morning, Joe.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's up? Where is Monaco?
Well, I think last year we talked between Crandon and Rhinelander.
Okay, got it.
Monaco. Okay.
Just a small one gas station town.
Oh, okay. I guess I remember talking to you about it.
Yeah, okay. What's on your mind, Joe?
Well, like going back to the fluorocarbon and the Seaguar, I had just purchased some Seaguar Red Label.
Yeah.
The fluorocarbon, would that work? 8-pound test, would that work all right on the spinning reel?
You know what? I just saw that for the first time when I was looking through a fishing catalog this week. And I saw right next to the other Seaguar that I got last year, that Red Label stuff, which actually looks like it's even more, a little more expensive.
It was like $10 at Walmart or something.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, then that's pretty cheap because the Seaguar that the 200-yard spool of the Seaguar that I got is like $19.99. So I guess maybe the stuff I'm thinking about that I saw in the catalog is different than what you have. But Seaguar
makes like about four different kinds.
They were the ones I think that came out with fluorocarbon first. That's kind of why I trust them. Yeah, they were the first ones that had it.
Well, you know what, Danny? That the elements or the product that goes in the Seaguar line, all the other companies who make it, if I'm not mistaken, I read this, Joe, that they buy all that stuff from Seaguar. To make their own fluorocarbon.
They buy the special ingredients
that they put
in the fluorocarbon vat and mix it up.
Yeah.
But however that works. But I don't know. I'd give it a shot. If not, you can pick up the other Seaguar, and it just seemed to be the perfect combination of being limp enough, yet abrasion resistance enough. Oh, one thing tying knots with fluorocarbon, and hopefully Jake is still listening. You really gotta snot your line up a lot when you're cinching when you're cinching it, because the fluorocarbon tends to be a little bit stiffer when you're tightening it down. I always spit on it even with mono, but really make sure that you get it cinched down, get it nice and moisturized, and then just kind of cinch it. And make sure that you know it's all tight.
Now that's on an improved clinch knot, right?
I just use a uni knot.
Okay, I use a Palomar. For everything.
That's what I use.
Yeah, Palomar. And if you do the Palomar right, you don't have to spit on it. If you do it right.
I still do either way.
I would.
Because sometimes when you do the Palomar, everything falls perfectly down, but every now and then it doesn't.
Tom, I'm not really sure if polymer is recommended for fluorocarbon.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll find out this year.
I don't think they do recommend certain knots for certain type of line, but they do recommend if you're tying line to line or braid to line. Or fluorocarbon, braid to fluorocarbon, if you want that fluorocarbon leader. A uni knot, I'm trying to think. I think it's like a five wrap on each uni knot, uni to uni. But with fluorocarbon, you just got to be careful to cinch it on down. And then I do try and retie periodically.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. Hey, thanks for the phone call, Joe. Was that it?
I actually just had a couple more questions.
Oh, okay. Fire away.
Shoot.
If it's okay for a talking point. I'm kind of a tackle addict, and, since the weather's finally starting to warm up a little bit, I'm making more and more orders online. And if you guys maybe would like to spend a little time this morning talking about maybe the five top baits for panfish, walleye, bass, just to give maybe your listeners and myself an idea of what maybe I should be buying this year.
Okay.
That's really simple.
Okay.
Hard for guys like me.
No, that's simple. Yeah.
And then other than that, as far as the fishing report goes, there's so much slush on the lakes that
it's a nightmare just getting out there, so up by you, you got probably a lot more snow than we have still, right?
It's come down quite a bit.
Yeah, well here it's come down a lot. Did you have the rain yesterday?
We did. Yes.
Or was it the day before yesterday? I can't remember.
I had worked last night until 10 o'clock, and it was raining pretty good when I got off of work.
Oh, are you guys going to have any flooding problems at all up there?
I don't think so on the lake. I live on Mars Lake in Monaco, and we're up on a hill, so I don't think around us we'll have too much flooding, but I know it's a concern for a lot of other folks around here.
For the lowland areas, yeah.
Gotcha.
All right, Joe. Well, thanks.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Take care.
Thanks, guys, I'll continue listening. Great job.
All right. Thank you. Bye now. And with that, we got to go to another break. But coming up next is the Hornswoggle. Danny, you ready?
That's right, Mr. Douglas. I'm going to fake you out so badly you won't know what happened.
You got your questions ready?
Yes,
or your,
I
or
do.
Your statements, I should say, your statements. Win a $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Market on Pilgrim and Silver Spring in Menominee Falls. Be a contestant for the Hornswoggle. You can do it. You can win this. This will be easy. Call 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. We'll be right back with more. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Happy St. Patty's
Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Hopefully you can get turbocharged with us this morning. And right now we have our Hornswoggle segment. And we have a lucky contestant, Thomas.
Yeah, Mitch is on the line.
How you doing, Mitch?
Hey, good morning, Mitch.
Morning. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Doing good. All right. So you know how this works. If I'm pulling your leg, it's a Hornswoggle. If I'm telling the truth, it's no Hornswoggle. We were just talking fishing line a little bit ago, and let's talk monofilament line. Typical mono might be advertised at 10-pound strand or trilene or whatever, but typical 10-pound mono actually has a breaking point of higher than that 10 pounds on the box. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
I'll go with no Hornswoggle.
That's correct. Yes, that is correct. When I was a young lad and didn't have much of a life, still don't, as a matter of fact, I'd take my fishing line and I'd tie some of my weights from downstairs, and I would then I'd get my D-liers and I would actually try and check the breaking, of the line, mm-hmm. until it snapped and I had a weight land on my foot. So. A lot of fun. So here we go. You're one for one. Indian corn. Indian corn is actually a decorative hybrid, which was actually first bred in Wisconsin by Chief Cornstalk.
That sounds like a Hornswoggle.
Yeah, do you think, Joe? You know, yeah, that sounds like one.
You know where I got that, Chief? Even though you got this, we'll go to the next one. Chief Cornstalk, I was listening to Coast last night, and there's some West Virginia Mothman and all this stuff they're talking about. And apparently it's some curse, some Chief Cornstalk that kept talking about an actual chief named Chief Cornstalk. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, oh, Chief Cornstalk said the Mothman was a bad omen.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess if I saw Mothman, I don't think I'd be too thrilled.
No, me neither.
Okay, so here you go. This one is courtesy of Al Shooks. He was big brother to a young lad named Tommy. I was pheasant hunting with Tommy and Al a while ago, and Tommy was going out with a gal, and he went out west to see the fam, and they were shooting prairie dogs. And while he was out there, they told him to be very careful because there is a special hybrid rattlesnake out there. It's a cross between the timber rattlesnake and the diamondback. It's called the prairie rattler, and it's twice as fast and has twice the venom. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
We'll go no Hornswoggle.
No, that was a Hornswoggle.
It
is. They were trying to scare him about the vicious prairie rattler. So, but anyway, you won. And
yeah.
Tom, tell him what Mitch has won.
Mitch, you won a $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Market on Pilgrim and Silver Spring in Menominee Falls. So I know you're in Muskego, right?
I am. That's not too far from me.
No, it's not too far of a ride. You know, take a ride over there, check out all their stuff. So
yeah, and
exactly.
And yeah. You like to fish, right? I assume.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Go to the gas station next door. It's owned by the same.
Same
what's
outfit.
It? Is it Paul? Is
yeah,
that,
Paul. Yeah.
That's his name. And beautiful mounts of beautiful big fish in there. It's really cool. Yeah. Some monster walleyes. And then when you go in to get your $10 certificate redeemed, bring your checkbook because you'll smell all those nice smells and see all that nice meat. And, you'll be buying lots.
Yeah. All right.
I'll
thanks, Joe.
Up on that.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye now.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you hear, like, in New York that the goofy mayor there is declaring, like, a meatless Monday now?
Huh?
Yeah. Meatless. Yeah. That what's, is it Bloomberg? What? What's that Bloomin' guy's name?
I think Bloomberg.
Is it Bloomberg?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Apparently, They're trying to go with the meatless Monday type thing. They've taken salt and pepper off the tables. They've
taken off the 32-ounce
pulled
drinks.
Out straw. Yeah, that they drink straw. Type thing. What is going on? John, if John were alive today,
oh, he'd be pulling out what Harry had left.
Blowing off because he was always a libertarian and he always was against government intrusion in our lives. And now they're telling us we can't have meat
on Mondays. What are they going to do? Like stop the sale of it or just hoping people do it on their own?
They're trying to stop meat, the flatulence, you know, cows. Farting and this and that.
How about
we film a YouTube video of a bunch of guys sitting around eating 1-pound burgers and farting at the same time, and using plastic straws at the same time, just to aggravate all those eco nuts.
Yeah.
You know, Danny, I got to cut in here because this is just too weird not to mention. You just mentioned that Mothman in West Virginia. This time last year, I was visiting that Mothman. I got a picture right here.
Oh.
We were driving out to
look at that.
We were on our way to Salem, Virginia for the Division III men's basketball national title game.
Oh, it's a statue.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a real guy.
No, it's
but it's based on the real Mothman, Tom.
It's like an urban legend kind of thing there it's kind of a weird
kind of like the Hodag in Rhinelander.
Yeah, a little bit.
There's way more credence to this, Tom, than the Hodag.
Yeah,
nobody alive ever says they saw a Hodag, but in West Virginia, the gal that was on actually wrote a book about it. There were guys that just died recently, but the Mothman was flying alongside their car, and one guy had the Mothman killed his German Shepherd, and it's no joke, buddy. You know, can sit there and scoff. It's all fun till the Mothman comes for you, my friend.
Did he have, blades coming out of his knuckles like Wolverine?
He did. They saw some tracks inside the barn, and they were like giant turkey tracks.
Oh, okay. All right. Then again, you heard that on Coast to Coast, so I'll take that with a grain of
salt. I believe everything.
I'll take that with a grain of salt.
Hey, I met the guy, Tom. He was scary, okay?
You did not
meet
Mothman.
Was there a tour?
I just showed you a picture.
That was a statue.
That was this. How do you know?
I asked you. That's a statue, and you said, yeah. Well,
that's a statue.
Maybe he's chrome. Maybe he was in disguise.
Oh, God, yeah.
I don't know.
You met the Mothman. What, you mean he can transform?
Perhaps he comes to life.
Well,
like
you
want to
know what else they talked about? Another type thing that was happening in the area was the Men in Black were showing up, too. And the Men in Black were showing up to tell people who'd seen Mothman to keep their mouth closed.
They didn't make their memory go away.
They saw some UFOs as well.
They saw what?
UFOs.
What's a
UFOs? Well, Father Vito Sarducci called them UFOs years ago.
Yeah, okay.
He said they fly real low with bright lights and look like Corvette.
Anything in the sky that you don't know what it is a UFO because it's unidentified. You don't know, it doesn't have to be a flying saucer. Or a flying spaceship.
Why are you always the smartest guy in the room, Tom?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Must be because you're a genius.
I have my doubts about Mothman and a lot of this stuff, so.
See, I don't know. UFOs? You know, Steve Milliot almost got abducted by a UFO in Walk Lake. That's strange story.
Well, he might have been abducted
and
then put
back. Yeah, they
wonder
there's missing time. I mean, and that's a normal guy. You know, another weird one, I heard some guy was on a radio coast to coast talking about how he saw a pterodactyl. Pterodactyl. Yeah, he was by some creek with some big high limestone, and a thing went by like 5 feet from him, and then he told his buddy, he was like 15, and his buddy said, you're nuts.
Yeah, I think they all died off like 65 million years ago.
What if there's one hiding in the cliff somewhere, Tom?
I doubt it. It was just a big bird.
Have you ever seen anything weird out there?
Oh, yeah. I've seen a lot of
weird
stuff.
Out in the woods or waters. I've never seen anything that looked paranormal. I would like to see a Bigfoot. Like a bait pile of apples? What do Bigfoot like to eat?
Maybe I could
lure one in.
Yeah. You know what some of the other names for Bigfoot are?
Sasquatch.
And?
Abominable Snowman.
And the big one from
Bumbles. That was from Rudolph the Red Deer Reindeer. Bumbles Bounce.
From the Himalayas, they call them Yeti. Yetis.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bonobobo, the Sasquatch, he's got a lot of names. I bet you that's one ugly female that female Sasquatch.
Maybe that's maybe that's why there's so few of them. The male Sasquatch has to get really drunk first.
Oh God! Oh, we better get
she doesn't look better in the morning.
We better get back to fishing and hunting. But folks, at 7:05, we got a special guest, Judge Brian Hagedorn, will be on the air. Hopefully, he calls. And we'll be we're not going to take any questions from the audience, but we've got a few questions of our own for them. So you want to stay tuned for that.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.